And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That's chapter 5, verse 11 from the first letter of John. This is the last Sunday of the season of Easter, and so it is the last Sunday that we have readings from 1 John, this letter that we've been exploring over the last several weeks. It's an interesting Sunday in that it lands between two major feasts of the church. On Thursday, we had the Feast of the Ascension, which is exactly 40 days after Easter, and it's when we remember that Jesus ascended into heaven. It's that pane of our stained glass window right there. You see Jesus going up. And then next Sunday is the Feast of Pentecost, when we remember that the Holy Spirit came down and gave birth to the church. And now we are still in the season of Easter, after Easter. And so we get these profound passages of resurrection life. We have been in this paradoxical letter of 1 John, and I call it paradoxical because on the one hand, it's extraordinarily simple. The vocabulary is simple. The arguments, in a way, aren't hard to follow. But it's also one of these letters where if you start chewing on what the words are trying to say, it becomes very profound and very strange very quickly. So what I want to do this morning is to just pick out one verse and chew on it a little bit. The verse is this, and this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So those words, testimony, eternal life, and in his Son, I had an image of them being sort of like dried sponges. I want to see if we just pay some attention and throw some water on it, if it just expands a little bit in our hearts, a bit of deeper sense of what these words might mean and might mean for us. So first, testimony. So a testimony is something where we give witness to something that we have seen, that we've experienced. Now, the everyday thing to point out about this is that when we are bearing witness to something, we didn't do that thing. Let me give you an illustration. About 10 days ago, I drove back from being with my clergy colleagues in Connecticut. You know, I do that twice a year. And it was late at night. I didn't have enough energy to read. So I just started listening to the in-flight music on my Delta flight. And I hit the button and started to listen to somebody I had never really paid attention to before. And oh my God, I will confess that I was blessed with nobody else in my row. When does that happen anymore? But it was just me for the three seats. And I was listening to this music, and the groove was so great. I was just being a goofball. I was just kind of dancing in my seat. You know, it was 2 in the morning, and most people around me were sleeping. So I figured, you know, and, you know, if people just saw how goofy I was, so be it. And I loved this music. It was a full-on album, which is part of what was exciting. I mean, every song sort of made sense in sequence. And when I came home, I went to Bedrock Music, which is where I like to buy. I actually bought a CD. I know how 1990s of me. But and I've been listening to it in my car. I've listened to this thing 6 or 7 times. My father-in-law is visiting from out of town, and I convinced him to get in the car when we were driving from one thing to another and had him listen to this. So I am being a witness to this album, Black Messiah by D'Angelo. I can't get enough of this thing. I think it's so cool. So that's being a witness, right? That's giving testimony. I did not make up that album. D'Angelo did. I'm just psyched about it, and I'm wanting to share it with other people. So if that's true of this musician, how much more true ought it to be about our relationship with God? That's the kind of thing that we're called to be and do. That's bearing witness. That's giving a testimony. That's what these words mean. So testimony. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life. Eternal life. Now, that word eternal bears some exploration. I just had a really very profound experience a couple of weeks ago. I finally took a Curcio. There's lots that one ought not to reveal about the Curcio experience, but I will reveal this, that you're discouraged from bringing any kind of timekeeping device on the Curcio weekend. And time is managed by others for you. And I can't tell you how profoundly freeing that was for me. like no iPhone, like not having to worry about what time it was. Just relax into it, a sense of being more in the moment. That is a foretaste, a little glimpse of what eternal life is like, where we're not tracking time all the time, obsessed about it. That's a glimpse, and it's well worth exploring, finding spaces in our life now. That's a foretaste of the heavenly kingdom. I know I've talked with you before, and it's also in my book, about my experience, in fact, with Brigida and Vladimir just a few years ago when we were up here during Lent reading the Psalms together. That was also an experience of eternal life. After a while of just being in this space, right over here, starting in Psalm 1 and then reading the Psalter through, after a while, the sense of time goes really weird. Time doesn't move fast, doesn't move slow. There's an incredible sense of a thickness to the time. And that's a foretaste of eternal life. We are so chronologically minded, we have a hard time getting a glimpse of this. But it's well worth our human effort. It's well worth capturing that, getting a sense of that richness of what eternal life might be. It's not endless life. It's not like the experience that I had several times, especially in middle school, of being in detention, you know, where you had to sit at a desk and it felt like time was just passing so slowly. It's not that. It's something quite rich and wonderful. And well, it is something that is more caught than taught. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Okay, I've explored with you testimony, I've explored with you eternal. I want to explore with you just a little bit in His Son. For the Johannine literature, this being in is incredibly important. It's the same idea as Jesus' great teaching, His great invitation, abide in me and I in you. There's a sense of the indwelling of God that's quite profound. At the 10 o'clock service, I have the honor of baptizing a baby. And at the end of that baptism, I'm going to take some oil on this thumb and put the sign of the cross on that baby, and you are marked by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. In that moment, mysteriously, God is indwelling in a new way in that baby. For each of us who has been baptized, the same spiritual reality is the case. God dwelling in us, and we have the invitation to dwell in God. When we take communion, we remember that we are part of the body of Christ in His Son. These things are deeply true. The passage that we heard this morning concludes with, I write these things to you so that you may know that you have eternal life. You have it. I have it. Now, to give you a sense of where all of this is going, I twice in the last couple of weeks have had the honor of saying the following words to a brother in Christ of ours and a sister in Christ of ours. And I invite you to pull out your books of common prayer and turn to page 499. And I pray that what I did for Marion and Hugh, someday somebody will say these words to me over my body. And I pray that someday somebody, perhaps it may be me, says it over your body as well. The completion and fulfillment of a life lived in Christ. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive her, receive him, into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace. and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen.